The first reading is from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died for sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you must also consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Dead to sin, alive to Christ. It sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? But hopefully we'll see it as a message of encouragement this morning. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would speak through me so that the congregation here would hear something from you and that they would grow in faith. Amen. Last week, one of our messy church mums came in at the 9:30 service, and she turned to me. I've shared this with my Connect group. And she turned to me and she said, "I woke up this morning and I felt clean all over." And I just was so encouraged by that. I said, "What happened?" She said, "I was at the Holy Spirit Day from the end of Alpha." And she was just absolutely brimming over with God's love. Isn't that the most amazing good news when you see that happen? Somebody passes from death to life, from the old way of life to the new. Before I bring to you the message today, I thought I'd explain to you something about this weird word that we have in the church that's called sin. And if you're outside of the church, most people don't know anything about it. For those of us who are maybe just visiting the church, I thought I'd explain what that word means, because it comes up a lot in this passage. Basically, it means anything that separates us from God, anything that keeps us away from following a life that's pleasing to him. Last week, we looked at Romans 5, and Danny talked a lot about perseverance. This week, we're going to be looking at what it means to live a life that's pleasing to God. So can we have a look in our Bibles at Romans 6? And it's on page 1069. I'm going to be sticking quite close to the passage, so it'd be good if you had it open. So Paul poses this rhetorical question. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? To understand the question, Paul does need us to understand that it follows on from chapter 5. And often the gaps in the chapters don't reflect what was actually happening, in the sense that chapter 5 follows on directly into chapter 6. So if we can just look back at chapter 5, it says here, "But where sin increased, grace increased all the more." Now, there were a lot of people in the church at that day who felt that Paul was wrong when he said that we're justified by faith alone. Another difficult word, justified. I think the best way of understanding justified is it's basically a sense of being right with God by faith, not being right with God through the things that we do. So the people in his day were saying, so we can just do what we want, can't we? After all, God will give us forgiveness. And Paul says, by no means, that's not the case. We can't just do what we want. We want to live a life that's pleasing to God. So let's look at verse 2 now. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? I think when my friend became a Christian at the Alpha Day, I think when my children have been growing up in a Christian home and gradually coming to faith, I think when I became a Christian age 14, I think I pass from death to life. I think I actually put to death those things that were in my life in the past. But it doesn't mean to say that I no longer sin. I think there can be some misunderstanding over that. We make a break with the old way of life. Let's look at verse 3 and 4 now. And now Paul uses this metaphor of baptism. And in Paul's day, baptism was the sign of the end of the old way of life and the sign of the new way of life. And it was a beautiful metaphor. But for us, it might be, as I've said before, the sense of going on a Holy Spirit day, or with my children, maybe coming to confirmation or baptism. And with some of us, we maybe have never made that specific decision, but we will have made it in our hearts. I love this image of baptism. It's such a great image, isn't it? Just that sense of being down into the waters, dead to sin, buried with Christ, and then raised to new life, resurrection power. Let's now look at verses 5 to 7. I think this is the key to the passage. It's this sense of being united with Christ. And it's a mystery, really. We become united with Christ through faith. It's like a shoot that's grafted into a vine. The shoot's different to the vine, but when it gets grafted in gradually, over time it starts to take on the same attributes of the vine. And we too, as we get grafted into Christ, we become more and more like him. It's just amazingly good news. So again, I want to remind us, we're not saying that we will never do bad things. Only Jesus could live a life that was without sin, even though he lived in this earth. He's not saying we will never do wrong. We will. But sin is no longer king. Sin no longer is our master. We're no longer slaves to sin, as it says in verse 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. So we no longer have to obey the old man. Now, many of you here, because many of my friends are here today, you know what I'm like. You know that I'm blunt. I say things that are a bit too direct sometimes, and I upset people. And I have a habit of saying, well, you know, I'm just from Yorkshire. That's my heritage. It's just the way I am. There's nothing I can do about it. But that's the old self. That's the old Amanda. And the new Amanda is somebody who wants to learn to be sensitive, particularly if I'm going to look after congregations. And so I ask myself, I try and listen to the new master who tells me to be sensitive. So how do we stay close to God? How do we stay grafted in? I think probably one of the most wonderful ways is through the Holy Spirit. When we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life as we become united with Christ. And he's the one who helps us to live the Christian life. He helps us to pray, to read our Bibles. He helps us when we're tempted to follow the old master. And he gives us the freedom to choose. 2 weeks ago, I went on an evangelism course, which is basically how to share your faith with people who aren't believers. And we had a week of various speakers coming to Wycliffe in Oxford. And the lady who heads up evangelism for the Church of England came, and she shared with us some new research that she'd just done. And she said that in the research, which was done with people who weren't Christians, she said that 67% of them knew a practicing Christian. And what do you think the top three attributes were of these Christians? Well, they were friendly, caring, and good-humoured, which is really encouraging, isn't it? Is that how the world would describe us? Me? I have to say, perhaps like you, I struggle with sin, with following the old master on a daily, hourly, minute-by-minute basis, with choosing to do the right thing. So how do we practically resist evil, resist the bad things in our life, and live for God, live a life that's pleasing to God? Well, I've mentioned Bible and prayer. I guess I have to say that. My boss is around here. But for me, that was the first thing that happened when I became a Christian, this just hunger and thirst for God's word and for prayer. Another thing that my husband has taught me is that we need to know ourselves really well. We need to know where we're most likely to be tempted. And a friend of mine, he's not in this service, but he was doing a job that took him overseas a lot. And whenever he was overseas, the guys that he worked with really tempted him to live a lifestyle that wasn't pleasing to God. And in the end, because of his faith and because of his family, he left that job in order to find something that fitted in better with his lifestyle. When I first came to Buckingham, I came from, you probably know I lived in Thailand, and in Thailand we didn't have access to things like gyms and so on, and I wasn't very fit. And so when I came here, I started to go to the gym and made some really good friends. But the first few weeks and months, I was pretty hopeless, actually. My muscles weren't very strong. And over the weeks, I got stronger and stronger until I was able to be able to keep up with all my friends in the gym. I think resisting evil, resisting temptation, is a bit like developing a muscle. You just get better and better at it with practice. Recently, I started to learn to use something called the examen at the end of the day. It's something that was developed by Ignatius of Loyola. And he said, look back, scroll back through the day as if you're having a video, and just think of all the things that have happened, all the good things and all the bad things. He called the good things consolations, and he called the bad things desolations. And I found that's been really helpful for me to keep short accounts with God. When I see the things that God's done, I give thanks. And when I see the things that I've let, where I've let him down, I ask his forgiveness and I bring them to the cross. So we're nearly there. So to recap, Paul poses this rhetorical question. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And he responds by saying, by no means, because we've been united to Christ. Christ, God, is in us through his Spirit. It's such amazing news. But it's not saying that we're not going to be affected by evil. That's just ridiculous. We will be affected by evil. We will struggle on a daily basis. But we're no longer enslaved to the old master. And we have these habits, don't we, that we can develop. I'm sure there's lots of other habits people can share afterwards about. But these are some of mine. Bible, prayer, knowing ourselves, making sure that we're not in a place where we're going to be tempted. Resisting, learning how to resist temptation. Using something like the Examine to help us. And finally, for me, the best one of all, has been to have a friend to whom I'm accountable. I have a really good Christian friend, girlfriend, here in Buckingham that I talk to. If I have something I'm struggling with, maybe it's a sin, a repetitive sin that I need help with, then I talk to her about it. And Will's talked about that in the past. Maybe this could be something today that you could commit to looking for, to praying for, a friend that you can really share with. To finish, we're just going to have a few minutes. Rob's very kindly going to just play a little bit of music in the background. This is a time of response. So maybe you want to close your eyes, open your hands to receive from him. And I ask you to just quieten yourselves. Ask God to reveal anything in your life that the Holy Spirit is putting his finger upon. Anything that keeps you from living a life that's pleasing to God. Ask the Holy Spirit to overcome this habit. And now let's thank him. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives. As it says in Philippians 1, he who has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion. Amen.